Welcome back to Shoujo, the ultimate anime podcast. Genre doesn't matter. We're just the best overall.
We're the best genre. It's like we're the genre.
No, I'm saying regardless of genre of anime, we're the best anime podcast ever.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Super. Yeah. Everyone listening, they totally agree.
Why listen to anything else?
Yeah.
Why listen or do anything else besides listen to our podcast on loop forever?
That's right. Speaking of our podcast, we cover shoujo anime every week, currently covering The Rose of Versailles. I am the shoujo veteran. Joe's, you know, was the shoujo newbie, but we're getting there. And we like anime. You like anime, or you're my mom and you're sympathetically listening. Or you've been converted to an anime fan like Joe's mom. It's one of those three categories.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm Sarah, Joe, and welcome. Let's get to it. Joe, what have you been up to since we last recorded?
I have been, I don't know. I watched more Hunter x Hunter.
Is the Chimera Ants over now? Finally?
No, I still have 18 episodes of the Chimera Ant arc. I'm still waiting for the part for it to get good. So I'm very excited for these last 18 episodes. Because of that show, I'll just watch like hours of it and I'll be like, well, nothing happened. There was literally an episode where like a minute and a half passed in real time, but it was still a full 20-minute episode because there was so much like narration about what everybody was doing and how they were reacting to things. It was interesting. Yeah, so been watching that. It's been fine.
Mediocre.
I finished. There was a season five, maybe. Of Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon, a show that I know is bad, but I watch anyway. It still does some things that I like, which is the thing that I like that this show does is it's like, what if there's like a bunch of characters and they all got to have little character arcs and we didn't just like forget that they exist, which sounds like a normal thing that should happen in every show. But let me tell you, a lot of shows just forget that they're like side characters that you also like exist entirely.
Well, I think they just use side characters as like plot devices and then like they go away forever. And then they maybe have like end of the season where it's like, oh, I remember that 1 second we met that person and that's
it. I think it's bad. Like even like the people that are supposedly the main cast. Right? I mean, this is the problem that Demon Slayer has all the time. I feel like it's like the last couple arcs. It's like, hey, remember when the boar guy was a character that got to do anything? Remember when the lightning guy got to be in the show? Because it's been like 2 seasons and they haven't been. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yeah.
I'm also feeling that way because of Hunter x Hunter when it's like the Chimera arc is so long. And I'm like, hey, remember Learleo? Remember what happened to him? Remember when he was a character in the show? That feels like so long ago.
I could leave him.
Remember Hisoka? Remember when he was like an evil clown?
He's like the... I see so many like, I don't know, thirst videos about Hisoka. People are into it.
Yeah. I'm like, remember him? Remember when he was a character? Not anymore. Rip, it's been 100 episodes. So, yeah.
100 episodes?
It feels like it's been 100 episodes. Chimera Ant is very long. But yeah. So, anyway, I'm enjoying the stupid dungeon anime because it's like... Hey, remember these characters you like? They get to do something. And I'm like, that's fun. I like it when characters I like get to do something and they aren't just forgotten.
Well, it's like the name ruins the show because it's like, obviously, the creator was just trying to like, it's like clickbait. And then like you have to play up some of that stuff to keep those people.
Yeah, that one in particular is weird because not only is it not about picking up girls in a dungeon, which does not really happen, the like main character is just like a nice boy
whose
character trait is just like being totally normal and like nice. So it's not even like, you know, most of the time they're kind of like skeevy dudes. It's not even that. It's just like, what if there was a guy who was generically kind of nice?
Yeah, at the very least, because I feel like in the earlier 2000s, like we would have these shows and then the guy would be like so unremarkable in every way. At least they're now making their character designs more interesting. Whoever the dude surrounded by chicks is, at least there's that. Because then it was like, ugh, why would all these chicks be hanging out with this loser?
Yeah, I mean, this is also like I was finished that one, but I'm also watching like ReZero season whatever. Uh-huh. And let me tell you that season of that show is real bad. I'm having a terrible time with it. But that's kind of my fault because I watch this show, even though I know it's bad. This is another one of those shows where I'm like, I don't think the show is actually very good, but I am going to watch it. Mm-hmm. But I like to imagine that show is about something else than what it actually is about.
Just imagine which is kind of a better on me. Version.
I'm imagining a way better version. I'm imagining a version that's like, what if we engage with like ideas about like what it means to rule a place or like different like social systems that exist? Wouldn't that be fun? And really, it's a show about waifus or whatever. And I'm like disappointed it's not doing the things I want it to do, which is what if we had discussions about ideas?
Yeah.
And instead of what it is, which is like, what if this cute girl got a sword? I'm like, OK, well, I don't really care about that.
Oh, the blue-haired maid girl. I always just think of, because there's like a pair of maid twins in one of the Fire Emblem games, and one of them had like short blue hair like that, I think. And it just always reminds me of that character design.
Yeah, she's not on the show, really. She's been sidelined hard.
Okay, dang.
Well, I guess it's a spoiler, but she's in like a coma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I'll take your advice from last time and be like, enough about you, Joe. It's my time.
Yeah, enough about my shows I watch that I think aren't very good, but watch them anyway.
Uh-huh.
What have you been doing?
Okay, so it's like been a lot, but not much for sharing. Basically, this week has just been insanely busy at work, because not only did we have like a new course come out, but we also the following day had this huge event that we were like hosting at our office building, and so it was a lot of like running around trying to get everything done in time. And I was like so stressed out that like I think Wednesday night I had gotten like 4 hours of sleep, and then Tuesday night I'd gotten 4 hours of sleep. Wednesday I got like 2 hours of sleep. And then I like, because I couldn't stop thinking about work, I think, or something was up. But then like the first day without sleep, I was like hyperactive, like, yeah, let's go. And the second day, like, it was trying to hit me like, oh God, what if I just never sleep again?
You'd be so powerful. Work. You could do so much work if you never slept again.
For real. Because that time that I wasn't sleeping, I was just doing work stuff. And I don't know, because I'm feeling re-inspired. Like, I just need to be like super awesome at work. But anyways, Thursday night I took sleeping medication and I got 6 hours of sleep. So I was able to like be presentable and likable for all these guests coming, because like in the morning I was like, oh no, how am I gonna like be happy sounding when I'm like a zombie? But I managed to do it. It's freaking over, thank God. So I've just kind of been trying to catch up on sleep this weekend, but I like haven't done the Traitors season finale. I really liked this season. Maybe you should just watch it for Alan Cummings' outfits. Like that outfit I sent you. It was so good. Mm-hmm. And I played, like, maybe on Monday, I played some Monster Hunter Wilds. I'm enjoying that still. I just haven't had the energy or time to play it the rest of the week. But big news for tomorrow, a new update to Fields of Mystria coming. So I'm super excited for that, because that's like, you know, cozy, lay in bed, play on my Steam Deck and listen to podcasts while I play, which is such a wonderful time for myself to just chill out. So I'm excited for that. I'm probably gonna blow through all the new content, but I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then lots of good games coming. Inzoi coming, I think, at the end of the month, so I'm excited for that. I hope my computer... I don't know at what point my computer's going to struggle to... Like, it's very taxing on my computer right now to stream VR. I have, like, multiple kind of big programs running to capture it and stuff. And then... But I did get a Quest 3. I got a Quest 3 at work, just since I am, like, using it for streaming. It's, like, so crystal clear to look. Or maybe my lenses were just really dirty on the Quest 2, but, like, I'm like, whoa, this looks incredible. Yeah, so I'm happy about that.
Well, if you get a new computer, I know a lot of people that have gotten, like, a new computer in the last, like, month or so.
But are they getting, like, a pre-built computer?
I think some of them did, yeah.
Okay.
Some of them, I think, are also assembling it.
I like my computer. I just need, like, to remove and replace. When I can afford to, which is not right now.
Piece-wise, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, you keep putting in those hours at work and not sleeping.
Yeah, because that gets tracked. Oh god. Yeah. Yes. I still got this dog I found on the side of the road. Haven't been able to get in touch with the owners because I like scanned the microchip and got the number, and so I contacted the chip company and they're like, we can't give you their contact information. So we'll contact them and give them your info so they can reach out to you about the dog. And that hasn't happened. And then I've like tried to look on like lost pet places and haven't seen. So I don't know if he was just kind of like a farm dog that was just always outside and they're just like whatever when he got lost. But which I can't. It like feels wrong because he's so well behaved that surely like somebody put the energy into training him to be so well behaved. But
well, if he's chipped, looking, I mean,
yeah. So he's been fixed, and that's probably when they put the chip in. So I'm assuming he's up to date on his vaccinations, and you know, he's incredibly potty trained, like not a single accident for being like 10 months old. And but you know, I'm gonna have to start, I think, looking to rehome him soon. If I don't hear back from them, just and it's almost a shame to not keep him because he's so good. But I just know he is not the type of dog for me. And also, if I get another dog, I want it to be more of a cricket sized dog, but slightly bigger, because I think if I got a smaller dog, she would just bully it. But yeah, so that's what's been happening with me for the most part. So just very tired and a little stressed out, but yeah, happy to be talking and watching Rose of Versailles.
Yeah, I don't think I have that much either. Does that really cover everything? I had two birthday parties this weekend, so I'm like,
hoo-hoo. Did you get good gifts, or are we at the age where you don't get gifts?
I didn't get any gifts for anybody. Okay. I bought someone drinks, and the other one explicitly told me not to bring gifts, so I didn't do that.
Cool. So I have a birthday party after this that I also have not gotten a gift for.
Well, there you go.
Okay. Phew. Yeah. Oh, man.
All right. Well.
Yeah. Let's get to it.
Do you have
it.
Anything else you want to talk about, or do you want to get into it?
Oh, my God. I can't believe there's another Galaxy Express.
There, yeah, actually, look at the voice actors. I put that down. I guess we can go ahead and do that. So, voice actors, this was better. Looking at the side characters appear in more stuff, the kind of like bit actors. Both of these are pretty funny. So, the voice actor for Louis the 16th, the current king of France, is Yoshito Yasuhara, who is another Galaxy Express 999 staple character. Shows up in a lot of that stuff. Plays someone named Fake Harlock. I don't know who that is. I guess there's a fake Harlock and not the real one. I don't know. He also did a lot of voices of, like, I guess extras or just like various characters in the Lupin series. Like, a bunch of the entries are about Lupin. So there is also that. But he also voices Louis, one of the pirates in Castle in the Sky. It's the one with like the little tiny mustache.
I don't remember like kind of tall specifically, but
yeah,
Louis once again.
Mm-hmm. He also plays Aoshi Shinomori in Rurouni Kenshin, who's like one of the first kind of bad guys. That's like one of the samurais. He's like blue haired.
Is he like the? Oh, okay. I was like, is he the huge one? But no. Okay.
No, he's like the pretty one. Okay. I think it's that first one where they go to that castle. I think he's one of those guys.
Oh, is it the one where they're doing opium stuff at castle thing? Or I barely remember.
It's been so long since I've watched Rurouni Kenshin.
Mm-hmm.
He also voices Vegapunk in One Piece, and I think he's still alive, so maybe he's still doing it. I don't know. In like the more recent stuff, he was definitely doing it like way back, because mm-hmm. Vegapunk is a big character now in the current arc. So
okay,
maybe not this version, but yeah. He voices Coleman in Great Pretender, who's the bad guy who does like art, fake art, because this guy is still pretty active. And he also plays Jimmy Kurosaki in the Cyberpunk Edge Runners, who's the guy who makes all of the little hologram things that people use. So that was the most recent thing I had seen that he had done. That was in 2022.
Hmm.
Still going at it. He's like, I guess, 80 something.
Damn.
Yep, still doing stuff. Well,
I'm assuming these characters he's playing are young. Does he not sound 80?
No, he doesn't. I mean, he played like these are all most of the characters. Yeah, are like middle aged men, I guess. I guess he doesn't sound super old. Some of them are old men. One of them is a dog. I'm like looking at the My Anime list right now.
Nice.
But yeah. So yeah, has a younger sounding voice, I guess, at his age.
Get it.
But he's got nothing on the other voice actor we have. So the voice of Granny, whose actual character name is Marlon Glace, I guess is the name that's like listed on My Anime list for the Andre's grandma or mom or whatever. she is voiced by Hisako Kyoda, who is very much typecast to play old women. but interestingly, I mean, she's like, she was born in 1935.
Damn.
So she's 90, still active, still doing stuff.
Holy shit.
Voice credit from this year. But even in her first thing in 1977, when she would have been like 40, it was also old women. So she's been playing old women the whole time. She is the voice of Yatsude in Urusei Yatsura, who is the like old witch in that, I believe. I've never actually seen
it. Okay, I was gonna say I haven't watched it either, but I like Rumiko Takahashi or whoever the author of Inuyasha and Ranma is.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. I guess maybe she's favored for those shows.
Well, I guess she plays like every old woman.
Yeah.
It's like she plays Sentaro's grandmother in Ranma One Half. She plays Genkai in Yu Yu Hakusho, who's like the old lady spirit. She plays the old woman in Paranoia Agent. And she plays Kaede in Inuyasha.
Yeah, that's the one I know.
The one I know. A lot of these others, like, I recognize the show, and I'm like, oh, it's like the old lady in that show.
Yeah, well, that's
she also voices, like, I guess there's, like, a lot of, like, Lilo and Stitch TV shows. And there's like, an old lady in that.
And that was a very good show.
Well, I think it's, like, Yeah, so lots of Lilo and Stitch character. So, yep.
Cool. Okay. Wait. Well, I've got stuff to say about her this time.
There we go. The side characters are lots of fun. So here.
Yeah.
All right. We should get into it. So The Rose of Versailles, episode 16, is called Mother. What is that person's name? We open on Oscar and Rosalie practicing swordplay because we're doing it. We're training Rosalie to be an assassin. I would say Oscar's a little too aggressive with the motivation, where she's kind of just taunting her the whole time. And that causes Rosalie to thrust her sword into a tree. Oscar comments that at this rate, she won't be able to avenge her mother, which, like, I don't
not
quite understand. Yeah, they're kind of just like... We're going to get later on this. This is Oscar, like, doesn't really want her to get revenge. So maybe they're just saying this to demotivate her. But, like, I don't think she's going to have to, like, sword fight somebody to stab a noble lady. I think you could just kill them in one slot.
Yeah. Yes.
But I'll have more to say about that later. They continue sparring, and then Rosalie accidentally falls into a fountain. Oscar helps her up and Rosalie cries, saying that she's being made a fool of. She's like, you're teaching me how to do this, but like, I'm bad at it. And you just keep telling me how bad at it I am. Oscar cups her face and tells her that she should get changed. And then she picks Rosalie up like Princess Carrie style and tells her that she's not mocking her, as Rosalie sits comfortably in her arms as the OP plays.
Okay. I was like, oh my God, this is it. Is this the ship? Is this the like... But there's a few moments that I'm like, oh my God, Yuri moment.
Yeah, there's going to be quite a few of those, it seems like.
Yeah, here for it. I got excited.
Oh, I'm getting really excited this episode. We cut to, we cut to Oscar and Andre riding horses. Andre asks if she really thinks that Rosalie will be able to find her mother's killer. And Oscar is unsure, but asks Andre to devote himself to training Rosalie next week. We cut back to the Jarjays Manor. Rosalie brings some laundry into Oscar's room. She sees Oscar's military uniform on like one of those fitting dummy things. So it's like
a mannequin.
A mannequin. That's the word. And she thinks about how she's secretly in love with Oscar. She starts dancing with the mannequin, with the uniformed mannequin, and thinks to herself how she wishes Oscar were a man so they could be together.
Don't let that stop you, girl.
Don't let that stop you. You know, this might be easier for Oscar, honestly.
Yeah.
Oscar walks in on Rosalie hugging her uniform and is like, why are you here? And then Rosalie tries to flee, but Oscar stops her. Rosalie tells Oscar that she was just here to bring some laundry and that she's going to leave now. But Oscar tells her that Madame Elizabeth is holding a ball next week and they're both going to go. And maybe at that ball, Rosalie can identify her mom's killer. Oscar tells her that she's going to have to introduce her as her sister's distant relative. And Rosalie's like, OK, but like if I go to a ball, I need to know how to dance and I can't dance. And Oscar tells her that Andre is going to teach her because I guess Andre knows how to dance at balls.
Yeah, well, they mentioned something about. Never mind. That's the next point you have. But
yeah. Rosalie thinks this will be the first chance to find her mother's killer and agrees to go.
Yeah, I'm glad we're having at least mention of that, acknowledging Oscar's sisters do exist. And yes. I was like, oh, cool. We're gonna meet one of her sisters. No.
No.
No, we don't.
It sounds like her sisters aren't there. Like they.
No, they've been married off.
Yeah, they've been married off. It sounds like.
But yeah, maybe we'll just never see them.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't mention annoying. This. I should have mentioned this before. I don't know if we want to take a little break. Maybe we'll take a break after this episode and talk about it. But I listened to some podcasts about Versailles. There was one called Behind the Bastards, where they talk about King Louis XIV, the Sun King who built Versailles and why. And it's like an extremely good. It's a very funny episode. I definitely like recommend this to everybody.
Okay, I've heard of this podcast before.
Yeah, so they talk about King Louis the 14th and 15th and how Versailles was like constructed and stuff like that and like what the purpose was. And essentially what it was is like it's a way to hold captive the nobility so they don't plan to overthrow him, because they tried to do that very early on. And so that's why they all live in like a big dorm at Versailles. That's why they're all at Versailles.
Uh-huh.
And all they know how to do is like gossip, because there's literally nothing else to do. But be there.
Yeah.
And that's why Versailles is like this. So I listened to that. I definitely recommend that to everybody. We can talk a little more about that.
That with them all living in the same place, there's tons of affairs.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. Like they were describing that, like, because the nobility so often is just marrying people for like status or whatever. Everybody's just constantly having affairs because it's like, well, you don't really even love this person anyway. So who cares?
Yeah. It's like retirement homes. You'd be surprised how active they get with each other.
Yep. And so they're, you know, there's nothing else to do but party and gossip and try to win the king's affection. And that's what everybody did. And that's why everything is so weird.
That makes sense.
But yeah, really good episodes. I definitely recommend it. I can mention some more stuff from it later if it becomes relevant. But yeah. Anyway, let's see. We cut to Nicholas and Jean. I don't know why I keep saying it. Jean tells him that there's a new plan, and that's for Nicholas to become captain of the Royal Guard Regiment, which I guess is different than what Oscar was, maybe?
I was gonna say, like, what is happening? Oscar's gonna be like, who the hell is this guy?
Oh, yeah, she's gonna know he's faking it, because right now he hasn't been made that yet, because Cardinal Rohan, the guy we met a couple episodes ago, is gonna arrange it, but hasn't done it yet. But he's just gonna pretend like he already has the job. Nicholas is like, is that possible? Like, why would Cardinal Rohan, who like hates the queen, go out of his way to do that? And John's like, oh, that's easy. I told him that your account. And he's like, can you just say your account? Aren't they gonna like check? And she's like, no, I don't think so. Like, she said she borrowed some money to rent a manor. And so like, if they have a manor and they say their account and they act like a count and countess, I mean, what are they gonna check? They're not gonna check. It's fine.
As long as you fork up the dough.
Yeah. And she's like, oh yeah, and this Madam Elizabeth person's having a ball next week, and so we could just go there and try to con somebody out of some money, so then we can really pretend to be nobilities.
Yeah, that's she their says plan. How like easy how gullible all these people are. I'm like, yep, yeah, as we've seen again and again, how easy it is to pull the wool over their eyes. And
yes.
He's a cake, man. This is like a con artist's dream.
Yeah. Well,
to live here.
In that episode of the podcast where they talk about Versailles, they talk about how there's this big shadow industry of like witchcraft and magic to help you win affections for things. So like, there's all these satanic rituals being carried out by people who are like trying to get the king to pay attention to you or to like curse your rivals or whatever. So this is like big stuff happening around then. So it's totally unsurprising that this would happen and that this would work.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Extremely funny. Anyway, we cut to Madame Elizabeth's ball. Oscar is announced as being here and everyone is hyped that Oscar is finally coming to a ball. They're like, she never comes to these. That's like, I can't believe it. She's coming to like a little party. She hates parties. Also, every woman there is in love with her and is immediately jealous of Rosalie.
Oh, yes. So dashing, Lady Oscar.
All of the women love Oscar. Even Andre is like, holy shit, they're just like melting down from you just like standing next to Rosalie. If y'all dance together, they'd have a seizure. And Oscar's like, well, you're gonna dance with her, so whatever. Madam Elizabeth, who's throwing the ball, comes to greet them. Rosalie is introduced as Oscar's distant relative, and she's able to like talk the talk and pretend to be a royal, and nobody catches on. She does immediately notice, however, that everyone seems to hate her because they're jealous that she's with Oscar. And she's like, maybe this like wasn't the best. I was not expecting to be getting this much attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's very funny that like Oscar just didn't tell her this would happen, even though this is like the most predictable thing.
I feel like Oscar isn't going to be like, prepare yourself. All these chicks are super into me. Like, that's not something Oscar would say.
Rosalie's reaction here is just so funny because she's just like, wow, Oscar seems to be popular.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Let's see. While she's looking around, she sees a beautiful girl wearing a fancy dress. Oscar is like, oh, hey, it's Charlotte. And we recognize that Charlotte as Polignac's daughter. Rosalie's like, wow, she looks so like a real noble, which is funny because she wasn't really that much of a noble like a year ago.
What did you think of Rosalie's hair?
How it's like big.
It's crazy. Yes.
Everybody loves it. And I'm like, okay.
No. Sure.
It's too big. It makes her head look enormous.
Yeah. Oh.
Dancing begins and Andre and Rosalie start dancing. Rosalie just can't stop looking at Charlotte, and Andre's like, hey, you seem to like Charlotte. She's Madame Polignac's daughter. And he's like, yeah, she's normally here, but she's sick right now, so she's not at this ball. And then he explains that Polignac is the most powerful woman at court right now, and Rosalie comments that he doesn't seem to like her, and he's like, maybe, because he totally hates Polignac. They're
dancing right next to her daughter, literally, like, an earshot.
Dude, Andre being in all of these scenes is so funny. Like, he's showing up, like, he just shows up with Oscar everywhere. Everybody knows him, but he's not. He's just some, like, he's just like her helper, essentially.
Well, like, I don't think
he's like dancing.
Like, maybe men will talk to him, but I feel like the women don't really talk to Andre very much.
No.
So,
it's just, but he's just there and he's just hanging out. Yeah. It's just interesting. Yeah. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny to see like where Andre's allowed and where he's not allowed to be.
Yes.
Suddenly, a woman comes rushing into the ballroom. She tells Madame Elizabeth that a woman in the antechamber has collapsed. Everybody overhears this, but Madame Elizabeth tells him that it's all right. Like, calm down, everyone. I'll just go check it out. It's probably nothing. We cut to the antechamber and we see Jean pretending to be passed out. Nicholas, who's wearing like a blue uniform, which is like not the uniform that Oscar has ever worn. So I don't know if this was like a fake or if they just, it's like a different position in the guard or not. I'm not exactly sure. But he's here and he explains that his wife has suffered from years of malnutrition because his meager officer salary isn't enough for them to buy nutritious food. He fake cries over her, and Madame Elizabeth is so moved that she offers to arrange a carriage to take them home, and she'll send them some money in the short term. And then she'll talk to the queen and see if she can get him a raise in the long term, because I guess Madame Elizabeth can do that. And also, this is really easy. You just feed him a sob story, and they just immediately give you money and stuff. This is exactly what Jean's inner monologue thinks. She's like, we got her. This is the easiest thing ever, dude. You just gotta give him a little sob. You just gotta pass out. And like Nicholas was doing like an okay impression, and they'll just give you money. They'll just do it. Let's see. Elsewhere, Rosalie is being overwhelmed by all these women asking about Oscar. It's like we get a big montage of a bunch of women talking to her, and they're all just being like, oh, what's Oscar like? Oh, what do you guys do? I never see her here. None of them, however, are her mother's killer. So she is like not that interested in talking to them. Over near Oscar, Andre is like, wow, Rosalie sure is popular. And Oscar wonders how it can be that a timid girl raised in the streets could become so refined as to hang out with the nobles at a party. Charlotte has had enough of the new girl getting all this attention. She tells Rosalie that the next son is a minuet, but Rosalie doesn't know how to dance a minuet. Charlotte mocks her and tells her not to get a big head. Like, you're not just hot stuff because you showed up here with Oscar. A woman comments that Charlotte is like an Oscar super fan, so she's clearly just being jealous. This is gonna come up later. It is very funny.
What's a minuet? What is that?
A minuet? It's a type of dance, I guess, or like a type of song.
Okay. And, well, it's like, from like the brief glance we saw of Charlotte in a previous episode, she didn't seem that sucky, but now I'm like, damn, okay, well, she takes after her mother for sure.
Minuet is a social dance of French origin for two people, usually written in 3/4 time, but is always plays as if in 6/8 time to reflect the step pattern of the dance. So it's like a totally different rhythm,
okay,
which is like why you'd have to know how to dance it.
I see. Gotcha.
Another woman tries to change the subject and ask Rosalie what her mother is like, and Rosalie accidentally calls her mother mom, which is not proper court etiquette. You shouldn't address your mother so vulgarly. And Charlotte turns and accuses her of not being a true noble. She's like, I knew it. You're just some trailer trash. Nothing. She's like, you're probably not even Oscar's relative, are you? Rosalie gets pissed and throws her fan at Charlotte, which is extremely funny.
She says that
she is a noble and thinks about how actually that's true. Wait, hold on. That's actually true. Remember my mom's dying words where she said that my birth mother is Martinet Gabrielle? Because she does now. She thinks about how her mom died and gets sad and runs off. In the hallway, Jean and Nicholas are making their exit. They're just walking out, I guess, even though she was supposed to be passed out. Jean says that the next step in the plan is to meet the queen at Versailles. She's like, we're going to shoot even higher, Nicholas. Then all of a sudden, a crying Rosalie just runs into Jean in the hallway. She like barrels right into her. She looks up and apologizes and is surprised to see her sister. And Jean is also surprised because they both recognize each other immediately. They recognize each other, but Nicholas clearly doesn't recognize anyone and asks what's wrong. He's like, oh, who's this chick? And Jean's like, oh, nothing. Let's just head out. Rosalie calls after her and grabs her by the arm. She whispers into Jean's ear that their mother has been ran over by a noble's carriage and died. We get scenes of her mother while Jean's face remains stoic. Rosalie is shocked that Jean hasn't responded or doesn't seem to care. Jean turns and walks off as Oscar and Andre catch up with Rosalie because she is processing all the information about her mother and also wondering why Rosalie's here. And why is she looking better than her?
Yes, how did this happen? I love that was said. Like, freaking suck it. Your sister who you ditched and think less of is showing up.
Yeah, imagine you like just pulled a con and all of a sudden your sister who's supposed to be in a basement shows up and she's looking real hot, and also she tells you that your mom was killed by some random noble here or something. None of that would make any sense, and she just like walks away because she can't make heads or tails of it. It's so good. I love that they ran into each other.
Mm-hmm.
Rosalie's like, I can't believe Jean, and she's like surprised again. It's like, I can't believe that she doesn't care. And it's like, well, it does seem like she does care.
What? Does it?
Yeah, she got all those impression. She was like thinking about it a lot.
Well, it was like my mom slapping me memories. It was happy memories.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see where this goes, though. Anyway,
I think you're too.
I don't know. This show's given me what I optimistic. Want so far. Remember last episode where I'm like, I can't wait for them to run into each other, and then they immediately run into each other? Uh-huh. Good.
I'm glad that this show is not making us wait for these things to play out.
Yes.
Like immediate satisfaction. Oh, she's just like, oh, I miss you so much, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why? She freaking sucks. It seems like she was always like the worst and didn't help you. And I don't know, like, just because you grew up thinking she was your sister, I feel like that's not a good enough reason to be like, oh my God, this horrible person. I remember, but maybe Rosalie just has, she didn't have very many connections, I guess, in her life. So maybe she just held on to them.
I wonder what they were like before, because Rosalie seems like a crybaby. You know what I mean?
Very much so. Yeah.
And I can see Jean being more of like a protector for a little bit and then getting tired of that.
I can picture that. We'll find out. Maybe.
It's the next day and Rosalie is brushing Oscar's hair. Oscar comments that all in all, the ball went really well. And Rosalie's like, yeah, except for that part where I like threw a fit. But Oscar says that actually throwing a fit was perfect because that's exactly what a noble would do. Anyway, you just gotta keep blending in. Rosalie agrees and thinks about how much she loves Oscar again. Oscar goes to Versailles to see Queen Marie. Polignac is also there. Marie assures Oscar that she's quit gambling unprompted. That's like the first thing she says. She's like, I'm done, it's cool now. And Oscar's like, okay, that's great. And then Marie is like, oh, hey, I heard you have like a relative that you brought to the ball. Everyone's been talking about it. Who's this girl you're holding out on me, Oscar? And Oscar says that it's her distant relative. And Marie is like, oh, cool. We should like all totally hang out together because that's what I do. I hang out. Polignac interrupts saying that Rosalie was actually really rude to her daughter at the ball. And Oscar is like, no, she wasn't. And Polignac's like, yeah, she threw a fan at her. And Oscar was like, oh, yeah, but that's because Charlotte was like being a brat. She was insulting Rosalie and she just responded normally. Anyway, hey, Polignac, next time you see your daughter, tell her she owes Rosalie an apology. Polignac is aghast that Oscar would talk to her like that. Yeah. She's like, she can't talk to me like that, right? And then she realizes that she has misread Oscar. She thought that Oscar was just some guard, but she's actually a huge threat. And she'll need to get rid of her soon before things get worse, which is wild. Because, like, remember, like, a couple months ago when she dueled Duke Guimena and shot him in the hand? Did everyone just forget that that happened?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, like, the women don't concern themselves with things like that. But I don't know. Oscar's like an anomaly that like all these people are only used to dealing with people like themselves. So they don't really know what to do when Oscar comes into the mix because the usual tactics don't work.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It just seems like Oscar would have more of a reputation at this point to not just be like, I thought she was just some guard. I haven't been paying attention. Well,
yeah, I could see it being, well, she's only concerned with the queen and Oscar hasn't been hanging out with the queen as much lately.
That's true.
I bet there's so much gossip you have to keep up with. That could be a lot. True.
Yeah, we don't know what else is going on. We get one last scene where Rosalie and Andre are practicing sparring. Similar to Oscar, Andre is motivating her by like taunting her. And Rosalie thinks to herself that she will make it through this and avenge her mother as we cut to credits. So assassin and lady training this episode.
Yes, I know. I wasn't sure how much training we would get, although. Yeah, I don't have, she's not instilling much confidence that
she's they keep telling her that she's bad at it.
Yeah.
She doesn't have that it's killer so discouraging. Instinct, I feel like.
No, well, she doesn't have the retaliatory, like, pride thing going on that would work on.
Yeah.
You know, she would be more, like, needs the encouragement, especially from Oscar.
She's just so in love with Oscar.
I know.
She's just like immediately my God, Oscar, carry me. Princess, carry me, Oscar.
Let me brush your hair, Oscar. Well, because like Oscar seems to have a soft spot for her, but like in a more personal way than because she used to kind of, you know, like put up with Antoinette's crap. But I guess she wasn't allowed to be in the same way as she can be with a commoner where she has like she's more in the position to determine how the relationship is. But yeah, a lot more intimate. I'm here for it.
Yep.
Can't wait to see what plays out.
We'll get to see. Do you have anything else about episode 16? Jean, I'm hoping Jean. I'm still holding out for the Rosalie Jean team up.
That is so many notes. Or it's very long recap. 16. Is that the same that length as most?
No, that's these crazy. Are super long.
Okay.
A lot stuff of stuff is happens going down. In the show.
Well, I'm noticing the show like is so much more dynamic than a lot of animes where maybe there's like two different people you follow. But there's like so many different characters to like catch up on, and like, you know, it doesn't linger on any one scene very long. It's just constantly cutting to a new thing. So much happens in these episodes.
Yeah, it's good. It's well paced. It's fast paced and it's good. I like it.
All right. Let's continue on.
All right. The Rose of Versailles, episode 17, is called Now is the Time to Meet Again. We open on Rosalie picking roses. She pricks her finger on one and says that there's a saying that a woman who pricks herself on a rose cannot be a noble woman, which never heard that one. She thinks about her mother's death again and the mysterious Martinet Gabrielle, who's supposedly her birth mother. She decides that it can't be true. She can't be a noble. All of a sudden, Oscar and Andre come riding on horseback nearby, and she overhears them talking. No, they're walking. I'm sorry, they're not on horseback at this point. Andre wonders if it's really a good idea to challenge Pontiac like that, but Oscar says that they have to sell the story that Rosalie's a noble, and they both think about the potential consequences as the OP plays.
Yeah, Rosalie always be in bushes on Oscar's property.
Yep. She calls for nature. She spent all the time in the streets, and she's like, I love to be in a bush where I belong. It's evening and Oscar and Rosalie are studying history. God, imagine if people in power actually knew anything about history. Imagine if the nobility knew anything about what happened historically ever. Oscar looks at Rosalie and thinks to herself how odd a girl from the slums could look so much like a noble. And then Rosalie asks Oscar if she knows someone named Martinet Gabrielle. Oscar's like, no, does she have like a last name? Those are like, that's just one first name. Rosalie explains that she doesn't know, and apparently that she's like her true mother. And Oscar's like, whoa, wait, hold up. If that's true, you don't even have to pretend to be a noble. We should totally find her, because that would solve many of our problems. Rosalie agrees. Oscar tells her that the queen also wants to meet her. Isn't that great? And Rosalie's like, the queen? The queen everybody hates and like is the reason why everyone's in poverty? That queen, the evil queen, Marie Antoinette. I don't know if I want to meet her, Oscar. But she doesn't actually say any of that stuff. She just thinks
she
that
just
stuff.
Starts sweating and like freaking out.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know if I can meet the queen. And Oscar's like, nah, it's cool. She wants to meet you. And Rosalie reluctantly agrees. This was so funny.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I've got things to say when she does meet her.
We cut to another ball. There's a second one. Pontiac and Charlotte arrive in a carriage. They talk about Rosalie and how she must be a fake noble, and then they go in. The other attendants note how beautiful Charlotte is, and they say that they bet Countess Pontiac wants to marry her daughter off to a rich nobleman. But I don't know, maybe not, because after all, Charlotte's only 11?
11!
How old
like,
is Rosalie?
Oh my god, what is happening? I don't know, because now I'm worried.
Yeah, before I'm like, oh, Rosalie seems like she's like 17. But like if she's getting into like an argument with an 11 year old, is she like 14? How old is she? Is there a wiki? I'm looking this up.
I guess is she the younger of the two sisters with Jane?
Let's see. Age. There's no age on the Wikipedia.
Shit. Well, let's just hope she's an appropriate age to be lusting after Oscar.
But this changes the dynamic for me, right? Because Oscar at this point is like 25 or 20. No, she's 23. Because when Marie met Fersen, she was 18 and Oscar's a little bit older than Marie. And then he left and that was four years. So they would probably be 22. She would be 22 and Oscar would be 23.
Yep, that sounds right.
I'm sorry. Is Rosalie a real person in history? Yes. What?
Stop. Don't spoil anything. Stop looking.
Hold on. What year do we think it is?
Oh, God. I don't remember. They said it in one of the episodes.
If it's like 19, this says she was born in 1768, which would make her like 10.
No.
But I feel like she isn't. Dude, she lived to be 79. Holy crap. Anyway.
Okay.
That's so weird.
Looking. Okay, we're gonna pretend she's older, or maybe they'll confirm it. Because I didn't think Charlotte. I thought Charlotte was probably like at least 14 or a teenager. That's crazy the way she's talking to people at 11. And also I forgot to mention, but like transitional effects, like when Rosalie cut her finger on the thorn and then the transition to another scene from that, where it's like a big blood splat. I was like, these are insane choices and style. Like, so funny. Now stop reading it.
It doesn't seem like it doesn't. It seems like her whole character arc in the show is made up. It seems like she was just a domestic servant of Marie Antoinette and was like the last one to get interviewed or something. She gave like an interview and that's why people know her name.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's not related. She could be a little bit older. I'm going to say she's 15. That's still like weird to get in a. Yeah.
Well,
15. Is that good?
It's probably. Well, everyone 14, admires 15. Oscar, but.
Yeah, so it's Oscar. So this is like a not a real. This is like a you have a crush on your like cool teacher.
Yeah, but also I feel like we are hearing Oscar like have very like soft sentimental thoughts regarding Rosalie, which we normally don't get ever from Oscar of like what she thinks of other people internally.
Yeah, but I think that's like her being like a mentor figure. I think she's enjoying that.
I hope so.
She's like her protege, kind of.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going with. Anyway, we learned that Charlotte's 11, which,
insane.
I guess she kind of acts like a little brat, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Oscar, Rosalie, and Andre arrive because Andre's also coming to this ball. Rosalie's looking good, and everybody comments. They're like, oh, she's so pretty. And Charlotte is like, mom, not everyone's paying attention to me. But then Polignac lets her know that she has a plan, so don't worry, honey. They'll be paying attention to you. We'll knock Rosalie down a peg. Imagine scheming against a 14-year-old.
I wouldn't put anything past her.
Queen Marie and King Louis show up because I guess maybe they're hosting this ball or they were invited. I don't know. They show up. Marie goes and greets Oscar first, which annoys Polignac. Oscar introduces Rosalie to Marie, and Rosalie is taken aback that the wicked queen that everybody hates is actually just a beautiful lady.
Yeah, well, I'm just like, girl. That doesn't change the facts of what you know about her just because she's pretty and not like acting like Charlotte is doesn't mean she isn't the culprit for the suffering of the people.
I'm sorry.
She just seems like starstruck.
As we all know, beautiful people are always good people and ugly people are always bad people. Haven't you ever seen a Disney movie? Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Polignac walks up to them and introduces her daughter to Queen Marie. Rosalie looks up at Polignac and realizes that it's her. That's the woman who killed her mom. And even more shocking, Polignac also recognizes her. She recognizes Rosalie, which was crazy.
Okay, I have a bone to pick here.
Okay.
Because there's a whole arc with Dewberry where it's like, oh, I can't talk to her until she talks to me first at events. And then this chick, Polignac, just is like, hello, it's Queen. Meet my daughter without being spoken to first. I'm like, oh my God. Breaking the rule.
Yeah. Well, Polignac doesn't care.
I guess, but like he was
like, I don't have to respect this. I'll just do whatever. I'm Polignac.
God, yeah. But it was like they made such a big deal out of it to now just like not acknowledge it at all.
Well, that's because that's like a custom and like Dewberry had never been addressed ever. And so you have to be addressed once in order to like talk to somebody else.
Okay.
So like because she was already friends with, I mean, it's still like I think this is still like a faux pas. Like, I don't think she's supposed to do this, but it's more understandable or she has like social credit to burn here, whereas Dewberry did not. Anyway, this scene rules. The part where she's just like looking up after, because like Rosalie was doing like a little bow when she was like introducing herself to Marie, and then she like pulls up as Polignac's talking to her daughter and just like recognizes her, and they both look at each other, and there's like a freeze frame and everything turns blue. It's cool.
Well, and then they keep reusing the same thing where it's like the window moving like with Polignac in it across her sight, and I'm like,
yeah. Maybe a little flashback of like, it's her.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oscar glances over at Rosalie as Rosalie starts to pull a knife from out of her dress. Showing up to balls, armed to the teeth. Let's go.
Okay, yes, but then Rosalie starts to lurch
towards Polignac, but Oscar catches her arm. Oscar tries to call her off, and Rosalie's like, why? But Oscar says that if she kills her right here, there's no way to escape. Like, there's no exit strategy. Polignac panics and tells Marie that Rosalie isn't a noble. She's like, oh, shit, it's that girl. She begins to explain, but Oscar, like, pulls up next to her to cut her off. She whispers to Polignac that if she admits to a hit and run, she'll lose influence, because even if you're a noble, you still just can't kill some random lady. That's still bad. Also, Rosalie is prepared to die right here and now. So if you do that, if you blow her cover, she will kill you. Polignac looks at Marie or Rosalie, and then she turns to Marie and says that actually she was mistaken. Forget I said any of that stuff. Because she's terrified. Marie, for her part, just rolls with it. She's like, oh, yeah. No, I didn't take any of that seriously anyway. Whatever. This scene is so funny. It's so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm starting to think that, and we get into it more later, but the reason Oscar likes Rosalie, and that's why she doesn't want to throw her life away on this revenge thing.
Yeah, that's the next scene.
But also, I'm sure it just turns into, like, Polignac becoming an issue that has to be addressed anyways. Like, so it could be done in, like, a more formal, public way than just assassination.
Yeah, I don't know.
But... Yeah. Ugh. It would have saved a lot of trouble if she just had taken one for the team and stabbed her.
That would be incredible if Polignac just got stabbed in the middle of this ball.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure Oscar was not expecting the killer of Rosalie's mother to be the most powerful woman in France.
Yeah. Well, it also puts, like, if Rosalie did that, then Oscar's would be in big trouble for bringing that person knowingly.
So very clearly your
ideal distant relative. Yeah.
But now Polignac knows that, which is incredible.
Uh-huh.
Like, the fact that she's like, oh, this Oscar lady could be a problem. I thought she was just some guard. And then the next day she shows up with, like, somebody with a blood vendetta against you.
Uh-huh. Oh, man.
Back at the Jarjay's manor, Rosalie cries because she missed probably her only opportunity to get close to Polignac. She looks at Oscar, and Oscar tells her that she didn't want her to actually get revenge on her. It won't be the closure she thinks it'll be, Oscar says. It's better just to live a good life than to try to avenge a dead one. Besides, you're basically part of the Jarjay's family anyway. So let's just, like, focus on finding your birth mother instead of avenging your other one. Doesn't that sound like a better life, Rosalie? And Rosalie, who can't say no to Oscar, agrees.
What happened to the whole, I'll help you get revenge, like, we're on a revenge tour thing?
I was disappointed by this. This is the same. But this doesn't surprise. I mean, this is like Oscar doesn't shoot Duke Guimena. She shoots him in the hand and then he's fine later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oscar doesn't pull the trigger is the problem.
Yeah.
Because she's too nice.
Boo. No, we like impulsivity and just, you know, being crazy.
Yeah, it also doesn't work out for her particularly well. Like, nope. Oscar's taking the noble route here, but she's about to eat it at the end of this episode. She should be scheming. I keep being like, Oscar needs to scheme a little bit more. And she does. Yep. I mean, I think this is better. I mean, it's true that, like, you shouldn't throw away your life for revenge. You should really think about crafting a better life for yourself. I agree with that. I think maybe that better life from yourself could also involve stabbing Polignac somehow.
Well, it's just like, how are you supposed to just, I feel like I would never be able to accept that someone just gets to get away with that. And when you haven't grown up in a society where people just do terrible things and get away with it, I can just see that being, like, all consuming and frustrating and not being able to let it go because it's like unjust.
Yeah. I'm still pulling out. I still really am holding out for Rosalie telling Jean that it's Polignac who killed their mom, and then Jean does something about it. Cause she would. Jean would have stabbed her.
Yeah. Well, if she cared.
If she cared. But she's got it in her. You know what I'm saying? She's got the killer instinct.
Yeah, we don't really know what her end game is. Like, what does she actually want?
Yeah, she wants to go see the queen, but we don't know why yet.
We'll find out, I guess.
Anyway,
I'm sure it'll be a piece of cake because Marie Antoinette is just.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she will get fooled immediately.
Manipulation. Yep.
Andre comes in with a bunch of books. It turns out they're the registry of all the nobles. It's not complete, but they got a lot of those books. So the three of them spend all night looking for the birth mother. Despite their efforts, they come up short, and Oscar decides to ask Madame Knowles if she has ever heard that name, because Madame Knowles knows everybody. She's been, like, top dog for, like, a long time. They go to the palace, but Marie tells Oscar that Knowles' grandmother is sick, and she is home visiting her, so she won't be back for a little bit. Oscar is like, ah, that's fine. We'll just ask her later. And they leave. While walking down the stairs, Andre notices some dust falling, and he sees that the chandelier above them is about to fall right where Oscar is standing. He calls to her and then dives to push her out of the way, and both of them tumble down the stairs, narrowly dodging the chandelier that comes crashing to the floor. A bunch of nobles come out and help them up, and they comment that that chandelier isn't even that old, so I don't know why it fell. That's really weird. Marie rushes out with Polignac to check the scene. Oscar looks up at Polignac and thinks to herself that there's no way that that was a coincidence.
Well, it's just like Polignac is like, oh, yeah, whatever. She's so dismissive of anything that happens with Oscar. It feels suspicious. Like, at least pretend to be feeling the same emotion everyone else in the room is.
I feel like in the big battle royale between all of the noble ladies, I feel like Dewberry is doing way better than her. Dewberry was better at covering it up. She could play it off a little bit easier.
Yeah.
She would have smoked Polignac.
Yeah.
The narrator tells us that later that evening, Oscar got a summons to the palace. Rosalie's like, Oscar, don't go. You're supposed to help me study grammar. And also, obviously, this is a trap. Oscar says that it's her job to go. And Rosalie says, fine, but only if she can come too. We get a sequence where Rosalie runs after Oscar in a dreamlike state as she tries to deal with her feelings for her. She says that it's unfair that the queen already has everything and she gets to have Oscar too, and I agree. It is unfair.
Well, it's on Oscar, I feel like she could be more formal and, well, I don't know. I guess she has no choice because Marie Antoinette.
Well, it's funny because if she didn't go, this isn't a real summon for Marie Antoinette anyway.
That's true. Also, take your own mode of transportation.
What the heck? You don't just accept this carriage ride.
Go horseback. That's way faster. Yeah.
Oscar, Andre, and Rosalie ride out in a carriage. Oscar notices that this isn't the regular road they take to Versailles. And then partway through, the driver comes to a stop and runs off. And the carriage is surrounded by masked men with swords. Fighting breaks out as Oscar and Andre sword fight a bunch of dudes. They're doing pretty well, but then one of them goes for Rosalie in the carriage. Rosalie didn't bring her sword, which was always a mistake, and I guess she doesn't have that dagger
stupid.
Either.
Stupid! Why not? Or they're, like, hunting people down. Take one of their swords.
Yeah, this is sad. This is the most
disappointing. She's been training.
Me.
It right? would have been badass if she had, like, jumped in and been like, yeah.
I mean,
way better.
It's only episode 17. We're only halfway through the show. There's plenty of time for Rosalie to stab a guy. I need Rosalie to stab a guy. This is, like, important character development. I need her to murder a guy in a sword fight.
Mm-hmm.
She's about to get stabbed when Oscar turns and throws her sword into a guy, stabbing him in the back. It's awesome.
The way he falls over is crazy.
Rosalie could have grabbed his sword. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter because unfortunately, this means that Oscar doesn't have a sword right now and she immediately gets stabbed and falls. Oscar is moments away from being killed when suddenly another carriage rushes up on them. A man leans out the carriage and we see that it's none other than Count Fersen himself, back from the north.
So hot, so pretty.
He calls out to Oscar as we cut to credits. Fersen's back at the perfect time. Why is he here? I don't know. Who cares?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. I'm so excited. He's eye candy. His hair is so perfect. The eyes are so pretty.
Yeah.
It's just too bad he's a sucker who likes Marie Antoinette, who I freaking hate.
Well, good news about next episode, about what happens next episode. Anyway, this episode was cool. The part where Oscar and Andre are sword fighting guys, like, Andre's fighting, like, two guys at once, and Oscar's fighting, like, three guys at once. It's cool.
Well, we saw Oscar, like, episode one or two, like, You learn to game and like beat a whole group of people.
See, this is how you know Polignac is not doing her homework. Because like, if you were gonna ambush Oscar, I wouldn't ambush her in a sword fight. Like, blow her up with dynamite or something. Like, you can't sword fight dynamite. Having a bunch of dude with swords is like not. I mean, I guess it kind of worked here, but that was just a coincidence. Only like, if Rosalie wasn't there, she probably would just cut them all down.
Yeah, she should just not let her come.
She needs to just carry a sword with her. Rosalie just needs to have a sword.
So annoying.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah. Oh, but the next one. See, this is the stuff that I like. The part where we know that Polignac is they meet each other and they're like, what are we gonna do now? Because like Rosalie's never gonna be able to get near Polignac again because she knows her. So it's doomed. They can't figure out who her birth mother is either. Unknown, unknowable, noble woman.
Mm-hmm.
You think she changed her name?
Maybe she's like not from France. Or she like was disgraced and isn't court, or I don't know, because if she would have had her however long ago, you know, I don't know where she could have gone when they're all trapped there.
Yeah, something bad must have happened, right?
Or she died. That too. But I feel like that's going to be disappointing.
Yeah, that's not fun. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
All right. Rose of Versailles, episode 18, is called Suddenly Like Icarus. We get a recap of last episode where the crew was attacked. Ursin rides up and the men call off the attack because they're like, a second guy shows up. I guess we're done. They run away and Ursin reaches Oscar. They all circle around her as the OP plays.
My first note was Ursin is so hot, but Ursin was autocorrect to fermented.
Yeah, it's not the easiest name to put down. I've had to very much teach the autocorrect to recognize these names. We cut to Oscar lying in a sickbed while everyone gathers around them. Granny is sobbing and Andre tries to calm her down, but she snaps at him saying it's his fault that she got hurt. He should have taken the blow for her. General Georges is like, all right, maybe you should like go take a rest. And Granny looks at him and decides to tell him off too and says that he just raised her like a proper lady. None of this would have happened. She starts crying again, and General Georges is like, all right, we should go. Come on, let's go get you a drink. And he leaves with her.
Out of control. She is just like sobbing so loud and so much. And I guess it's like she kind of raised Oscar.
Yeah, it seems like that.
I don't know. No one else seems as upset as she is. So I could see that being frustrating, too.
Yeah, well, you can see how like.
But I like that she gets lured away with the call of a drink.
Oh yeah,
we know she likes pushes to her drink
out. Well, you can see how like the general is very like hard with Oscar because he's raising her like a son, but then when he deals with Granny here, he's like very nice for somebody who works for him. So
yeah,
a rare moment where General Georges gets to be cool.
Yeah, we don't see him very much.
No. The doctor there says that nothing life-threatening has happened to Oscar, and if she rests for 2 weeks then she should have complete arm motion again. So she just needs to do that. Andre and the doctor leaves, which leaves only Ursin there with Oscar. Oscar opens her eyes to see Ursin. She says that she thought it was him, but also thought it might have been a dream, because why would he be there? She thanks him for saving her, and Ursin tells her that he was actually there to visit Oscar, so.
Okay, we have to talk about, because first I was like, ooh, Rosalie and Oscar. Now I'm like, oh my God, Oscar and Ursin? She opens her eyes and they put like the romantic bubbles and she seems like happy to see him. And like, I'm like, oh my God, what's happening?
Yep. We got another scene a little bit later that leans into this a little bit more. Yes. And I'm like, what's happening?
Okay. And then I was like, oh my God, if Oscar has a thing for Ursin and anything happens, Marie Antoinette is going to like freak out. And that's going to be the thing that separates Oscar and Marie Antoinette.
You think they have a falling out over that?
I could. Well, Marie, look at. Yeah, I think so. But also, Oscar seems to just trying to tell herself that they're perfect for each other.
Yeah.
God.
See, this is really what a love triangle needs to be for me.
Yes.
When dates like one person high. Is like the other two should be in a relationship, but I just like them so much. See, that is like more tragic to me than two dudes like the same girl.
Yeah, that's like when I was in high school, I was reading this manga called Moe Kere, I think. And it was like that, where like the guy I wanted her to be with was like, no, you should be with him. You guys we'll be good, this and that. And then I was like sobbing, like, oh no, but you love her and deserve. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So very dramatic.
Yeah, that's good. That's the good stuff.
Yes.
Anyway, Rosalie walks in to put down a flower vase and Fursten sees her and he's like, hey, don't I know you? And Rosalie's like, yeah, you almost ran me over with a carriage like 8 episodes ago, which was extremely funny.
Yes. Yeah.
Everybody remembers her everybody else perfectly.
Yeah, you would think not. Nah, it's been 4 years. It was like 1 second. Crazy. I could see her remembering because he gives her like a. Doesn't he give her something or no?
No, he's just oh, sorry. And she's like, it's okay. But he's okay. Hot. So I guess she remembers that.
Yeah, that's true.
And yep. How many times you get almost run over by the carriage?
Well, for her, I could see her forgetting a few with how often it happens.
That's true. That's very true. It's just really funny being like, oh, yeah, you know me. Remember that one time you almost killed me accidentally? Fursten asks if they know who set them up, and Rosie's like, yeah, it's super obvious who did that. But Oscar glares at her and says, no, they don't have any hard evidence, which, like, come on, Oscar. What are you talking about?
Covering her, you know, I don't know. Fursten could be a big tattletale.
Maybe.
Especially if he goes and talks to Marie Antoinette and sees that Polignac is hanging out with her, and then he's like, hey, you shouldn't, and then it becomes a whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, but this could also solve the problem immediately. Because if anybody is gonna win Marie over Polignac, it's Fursten.
That's true. He's gotta use it for good.
That's what I'm saying. But again, Oscar can't scheme.
No,
she can't do it.
Boo. Lame.
This is like an own goal here. It would have been so easy. She just had to tap it in. Ugh. God. Fursten says that he has to go, but Oscar asks if he's going to see Marie. He says that he has some business to attend to, but he'll come and visit her afterwards. Oscar tells him that she's gotten more beautiful with age and thinks that she hasn't gotten any happier, though, since Fursten left. She'll be beside herself when she sees him again. It'll be just like old times. And I'm like, Oscar, remember when the old times were bad and everybody was mad that she was like clearly having an affair with this guy? It was like a problem, Oscar. Yeah,
skipping out on duty to hang out with him. I know, it's like she's warning him, like, are you going to be, can you handle the hotness that has increased when you couldn't handle it before?
Like,
she's hypnotized now, again. Yeah.
You got to be careful. You're going to be going on 10-hour walks, man. She's just going to want to keep going, and you're going to have to agree. It's the next day at the Polignac Manor. Charlotte bursts in, and her mother, who's playing solitaire or something, Charlotte's pissed and asks her mom why everybody is saying that Oscar got attacked last night, and her mom's like, I don't know. It's got nothing to do with me, and Charlotte accuses her of setting it up. She's like, you think I'm stupid? You think I don't know that Uncle got home late and was covered with blood? And Polignac's like, nah, that's not me. She denies it, but Charlotte does not believe her. Charlotte runs away and thinks about how cruel her mother could be to her beloved Oscar, because as we remember, she's a super fan.
Well, because at first I was like, I forgot that part. And I was like, oh, look at her like staying up to her mom for something that's not right. I didn't expect it because she's such a shitty little kid. But oh, it's only because it's against Oscar that she's upset. And again, her mom sucks at like, feigning any kind of
she can't trick her 11-year-old daughter. I mean, there's no way she's gonna be able to keep her head down. She's so bad at scheming. It's so funny. Like, this dynamic is so funny to me, to be like, listen, honey, your mom needed to kill Oscar because Oscar is harboring a woman who's going to kill me. But I can't explain that to you, so I'll just say I didn't do it. Very poorly. It's so funny. At the palace.
Be better. Hmm? Bad villain.
Yeah, she doesn't have it.
None of they all pale compared to Dewberry.
She doesn't have the killer instinct either. You know, Jean's going to show up in wreck house.
Yes, unless that dumbass she's dragging around with her ruins it for her.
Oh, I think she's going to let him die at some point. I think there's definitely going to point where she's like, I'm done with you, and like kicks him off a ledge or something. Like, he's holding on by one hand.
Being, like, he gets in trouble for impersonating an officer, and then he's like, no, tell them it's not true, and then she doesn't say anything, and then he gets executed in front of her.
I think it's going to be like the early days where Duke Orleans keeps stabbing his own dudes. She's going to stab him, and Duke Orleans going to see that and be like, maybe I can work with her. I like the cut of her jib. At the palace, Marie gets the news about Oscar. She tells Knowles to send Count Mercy to go visit her. But we never get that scene, which is a bummer because I miss Mercy. The other women continue gossiping. They're like, hey, I heard that Swedish guy's in town. What's his name? Like Fursen or something? And Marie hears this and drops her teacup. She's like, did you say Fursen? And the lady says, yeah, apparently he's a friend of Oscar's. And Marie is over the moon that Fursen's back. We get some flashbacks in a dream sequence of Marie and Fursen together. And there's a part where they're both sitting on a horse, which was pretty good.
And then there's like swans flying.
And there's swans.
Something.
A week passes. Oscar has no new clues about the attack, which like you don't need because it's super obvious who it was. Come on. But she is walking around with her arm in a sling.
This is where she needs to notice that Charlotte Polignac's daughter is obsessed with her and use that.
Yes.
Manipulate the information of her.
Nope, can't do it. This is the tragedy of the Rose of Versailles. Not the fact that Marie Antoinette's going to get executed soon. It's the fact that Oscar is bad at scheming.
Yeah, that's it. I do like Oscar a lot more these episodes, though, now that I don't have to see her interact with Marie Antoinette.
She goes to see Marie. Marie is like, oh, man, I was so worried about you, Oscar. We'll find out who did this. And Polignac says it's probably just some bandits, but stops when Oscar glares at her because once again, just don't say anything.
Yeah, it's not your business.
She can't help herself. She's so bad at this.
Yeah, it's a good thing Marie is stupid as hell.
God. Fursen arrives and Marie is so enraptured that she drops her fan and Polignac has to pick it up and give it back to her in a very funny scene. He greets Marie and she's like totally stunned because she is crazy in love with this guy. Later in a side hallway, Fursen talks to Oscar. He confesses that unfortunately he's in Paris for a marriage arrangement and Oscar's like, what? You can't get married? And Fursen tells her that it's going to be some British lady. And Oscar grills him on what she's like. And Fursen's like, dude, I don't know. I've never even met her. Oscar is incensed that Fursen would marry somebody he doesn't even love. And Fursen turns to her and is like, oh, what? Am I just like, just because I love somebody, I should be able to marry him or marry them, Oscar? Is that what's happening? He grabs her by the shoulders and is like, what am I supposed to do, huh? What am I supposed to marry the queen? What are you saying? But Oscar has no answer. And also she's like, ow, I'm still injured. Stop shaking me by the shoulders.
Yeah.
And he apologizes because he's nice. It's the next day. Fursen comes to Marie with in his formal full white uniform because he's like a dragoon or something. It's cool. Yeah. She's like, wow, I finally get to see you in your uniform. I sure wish you'd like come around more often. Why haven't I seen you?
So lame. You gotta like, you're too obvious, girl.
Dude, she's so
you
down
are
bad.
Married.
It's crazy.
Remember?
No. Unimportant. First, he looks up at her and says that actually he's here to finalize his marriage arrangements. Marie is devastated, but brings herself to congratulate him through tears. But that's the most she can do because then she immediately runs off.
Everybody running off is like admitting defeat.
You just gotta get out of there. Listen, if things get too real, just hit the bricks. Just you're out. You can always leave. Just exit the situation. Marie thinks to herself that of course he'd get married someday. She knows this. This isn't a surprise. And yet she's still so sad about it. Oscar drags Fursen into the woods. She's like, hey, why'd you just do that? And he tells her, like, what? What was I supposed to say? I love you, Marie, but I have to marry some random woman. She's the queen of France, Oscar, and she's already married. I can't be with her. What are you saying? It's better if I just like break it off entirely, you know, just rip the Band-Aid off or whatever. Oscar is sad about this, but doesn't say anything. And as she leaves, she just asks if he's going to go to the opera tonight. But Fursen does not answer.
Because he's on the brink of crying.
On the brink. Back at the Jarget's manor, Oscar is drinking wine and thinking about Fursen. And she's like, God, this is so sad. They'd be the perfect couple. And then she looks down at the glass and sees her own reflection. And she's like, what about me? What should I do with my love life? Nebulously, she takes a gigantic swig of wine and then collapses on her bed.
Oh my God, no. I was like, well, she didn't specifically say what do I do with my love life. But like, that is definitely the takeaway. As a viewer, and I was like, oh my God, she left or she's into Fursen. I don't blame her.
She got real mad to learn that he was getting married to some random lady.
Yeah, but that's maybe it's like, oh, if he marries, well, no, because he can't because she's married, and so she has no right to be like, how dare you get married?
Yeah.
But
you know who's not married? Like, You know who's still available, technically?
Yeah. Yeah.
And hey, if he marries her, she can hang out. They can both hang out with Marie all the time.
Uh-huh. I know. That's what I was thinking. You'd like propose it in that way so he would accept, and then Marie gets her head chopped off and then they live happily ever after.
You know, and out of all the people to share Fursen with, I'm sure Marie wouldn't mind Oscar that much.
It's so such a weird situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she doesn't have the right to be like, no, you can't. Because why is admitting that you're having an emotional affair with this dude?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Okay. There's I was just like, oh my God, yes, Oscar.
Yeah.
What about you? You deserve happiness.
That's right. Hey, you're not married. Fursen isn't married yet.
That's right. Well, I'm wondering if like what, because she would be, she's definitely like past the age of where she would typically get married. And it's like, what was her father's plan for her as like raised as a man, but not a man, and then like not a woman, traditional sense. So like, were you just going to have her never marry or what?
I don't know. Maybe he's like excited that Rosalie's there because he's like, oh, this is great. You could just adopt Rosalie and she'll just be the lineage.
Because maybe she's 11 too.
Yeah. Maybe he's cool with that. You know, that seems like a pretty good solution, honestly, to their problem.
Yeah. Okay, let's continue.
It's opera night, and Fursen can't bring himself to go in. He's like, Oscar, I can't go to the opera hosted by the king because I, like, kind of hate that guy now. In the opera, we see King Louis sitting alone. Madame Knowles comes and tells him that Marie has a headache and will arrive late, and he's like, oh, that's cool. He does not seem to care at all.
Nope.
Love this little dork. In the forest, Fursen is being sad. He hears a noise and turns to see Marie. For what I can only imagine is a secret rendezvous, although they seem surprised to see each other. But I don't think she's just going through the woods on her own.
I need to say something. I just remembered I had a dream about the Rose of Versailles.
Okay.
Or something. Uh-huh. But I don't remember the specifics. But basically, there's like this. And maybe it was like a merge of Rose of Versailles and reality. But basically, there's like this prize that everyone thought was going to have money in it. Or maybe it was like, oh, the people are being given back with this chest full of money, and then they open it, and then it's just a bunch of locks that the king made.
Like the locks that Louis makes? Oh my God.
And that was the gift. A gift from the king. Yes. I just remembered.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Uh-huh. This is the only time we see him in these episodes, and he's just like, oh, my wife's not here, whatever, that's cool, we'll meet up later, it's fine.
Yeah, big nothing person.
So they're in the forest. Fursen apologizes to Marie for yesterday and explains that his dad is old and is trying to settle him back in Sweden so he can't keep going around on his big European travel adventure. Marie is like, yeah, that makes sense. But that also means I won't be able to see you anymore, huh? She thinks about how horrible it'll be knowing that some other woman is going to get to be with him while she's stuck in France at the palace. She runs off and then she immediately trips over a tree root and he goes to her. They look at each other and then embrace crying. The narrator tells us that despite these two being in love, it has all led up to this. We see Marie and Fursen kiss as we cut to credits.
Okay, because I was like, I can't, because like the little illustration they show, it looks like they're in bed sheets. And yeah, I'm like, oh my God, are they going to bang?
Maybe they did. It's a little vague.
And then who's going to find out and hold that over Marie Antoinette is blackmail? Polignac probably is like, oh, you had an affair on the king now, or Jen, whatever. Somebody's going to find out and it's going to be bad.
I don't know.
And what about Oscar?
What about Oscar? Oh, I don't know. Do we think they banged? I kind of hope that they did, but then did they do it in the woods? You imagine if they did it in the
woods? I don't know. Because I was like, we'll see, I guess, if this isn't just a fabrication of something to happen that hasn't happened yet.
It's hard to know what actually happens.
I feel like that happens.
And what's just like a cool painting that they put in the show. Uh-huh.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, the end.
I was first watching it on Plex, and then I got to episode 17.
Oh, it's wrong.
And then.
Yeah. No, I had the same thing.
Oh, OK. OK. So did you. OK. Because I was like, oh, this is not right.
Yes.
I need. So I like saw a minute or two of like episode 34.
How did you know that Plex has the wrong
order? I was like, because it's not like. Because at first I was like, oh, this is just some weird time skip or something. But then I was like, oh, this is something that apparently we're supposed to have been aware of happening. And
okay.
So it wasn't, and Oscar looked a lot more stern than she normally does.
I was immediately like, well, Oscar's wearing a blue uniform, so that means we've done a time skip. She doesn't wear blue yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it opens and it's like the Estates General has been called. And I'm like, excuse me? That's like the revolution's happening. What?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That might be, but like where they're. Yeah. That. But yeah. So a sneak peek for us. Yeah,
the Estates General is going to happen, folks. Hopefully no one else
experienced this, but maybe they did.
Get ready for that.
I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
God.
No, I have to watch it on like Pluto TV or whatever. Get the right episode ordering.
Film Rise. Oh, God. And then, OK, and ads right now are crazy, but I got an ad that was like for the Republican Party, but it was like if it was that movie Taken, because it's like talking about illegal immigrants and they're like, if you're an illegal immigrant, we will find you and we will deport you. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh my God, what is this? Yeah. This is insane. Like threatening.
It's like you're watching The Rose of Versailles. You probably love an aristocracy. You probably love oligarchs.
It's crazy.
Don't you hate the don't you agree that the hated Austrians are terrible? That's what, wouldn't you like to throw them out of the country?
All the advertisements I'm getting on things are very Texas targeted. Ugh. And they are stuck, and I'm like, can I like object to this?
You gotta put an ad block
the advertisements
on.
I'm getting
you gotta put
well
an ad
I'm
block
watching
in.
It on my TV.
Oh yeah, I have switched over to the Blu-rays.
Oh yeah. That must be nice.
You can buy.
Wait, so it's wrong in the Blu-ray too?
You can buy collection one. That's available everywhere. Collection two is not, because that's how every anime Blu-ray thing is now, where it's like one of them is dirt cheap and the other one is unavailable.
Damn. Wait, so on the physical copy, the error was there as well?
No, no, no. I was watching it on Plex because I watch it on my iPad. But then I switched over to Blu-rays because it was wrong. And I'm like, well, I'm not doing that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know. What other crazy? Because that's only what we saw is only six episodes from the finale.
Yeah.
So that was
there
like,
was another
oh my
error
God.
Earlier also. It was like episode 7 or something was wrong.
Yeah.
So Plex is just getting it wrong for some reason. I don't know why that is. Anyway.
Yeah.
Any final sometimes. Thoughts about the episode itself?
Rooting for Oscar. I want Oscar, like, but it's so complicated because like everyone loves Oscar. So if Oscar loves someone, then so many people are going to be devastated.
Oh, it's so good.
What a predicament. Yep.
I feel like realistically, Fursten's the only one she could get away with where people would be like, well, he is super hot.
He is. So he's the most gorgeous dude on the show. Oh.
Because, like, none of the other options, I feel like, could fly, right? Because it can't really be Andre.
I mean, there's a lot of, like, Oscar gets to get away with the norms. And people are, like, that's just her whole identity has been going against the grain. And so people just expect that from her. But, yeah, like, I don't know if she's ever considered, like, what happens for her romantically before.
No, let me tell you, she downed that wine glass thinking about it.
I know. I was like, this is the first time I've seen Oscar drink, I think.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God. And they said her muscle like was severed in half. And I'm like, damn, that sounds incredibly painful.
Yeah. Had to mend back in place. Got stabbed in like the shoulder.
What left shoulder?
Yep.
Blade. What do you think, Joe? What are you thinking?
About what?
The show. Recap. You asked me.
Oh,
I'm asking you.
It's good. No, I'm having a great time. A lot of things I wanted to happen.
Yeah, I'm really excited now.
We're like moving at a good pace. I feel like there's plenty of stuff here to like get into. And I'm excited for it. I keep this is like the first show really where it's like I really just want to keep watching episodes. And I'm like having to force myself to only watch the three episodes.
Yeah. I know, because normally these shows, it's like, oh, I wish this would happen. And then it never goes down that road. No. But like everything I'm hoping for is happening here.
It's happening fast.
Thanks for picking this show, Joe. It's really good. And I never would have given it the chance otherwise.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's great. This has been the best show we've watched by far.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, it's so good. I'm excited. I don't know what the movie covers, but that'll be cool to watch too and see, like, compared to when the time it was made versus like remaking this classic series, like what changes they make to it. Like, do they just take the plot and drop all the, like, you know, crazy animation things they're doing and do it in a modern way? I'll be interested to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're almost halfway.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you think you're, so well, I guess we can talk about this later. Because, like, I want to read the manga, but I also don't like reading the thing after I watch the thing because it's, like, too much of the same stuff.
Sometimes. I mean, sometimes the manga differs a lot, and that's super the case in shoujo.
Oh.
So, or most of the time. Yeah. Because, yeah, like, or it never goes past the first season, typically. We don't get the entire show in the shoujo anime, so, like, you have to read the manga to know what happens.
Yeah.
But
I do feel like, yeah, I'm going, like, to read this after we finish watching it.
Yeah, well, those sweet, sweet editions must be had.
Yeah.
Those hard copy versions are so nice.
How many more weeks is that for us? There's 40 episodes. We're on episode. We have 22 left. 22 divided by 3 is 7 point something. Maybe we'll do 4 episodes, or we'll do 2 and 2 maybe.
Yeah, that works.
So eight more weeks. 8 more weeks until the end.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Oh, man. I hope everyone listening is enjoying watching along, or at least learning as we cover it. Yeah, this has felt like the most consistent series we've covered. And I finally got my mic the way it needs to be. So I'm like, we're here. Shoujo is getting to where it's meant to be, quality wise and content wise, our podcast.
Yeah. I feel like this is going to be one that, like every other series going forth, we're going
to
be like,
compared
go
to,
watch
yeah.
The Rose of Versailles. No, I know none of you have ever heard of this show because it's from the 70s, but you need to go watch this.
Well,
like, I know I picked this show to watch because I want to watch Utena later, but I feel like I'm just going to be like, it was cooler when it happened in the Rose of Versailles. Like, this is going to be our benchmark for everything.
I'm excited that we're going to be like, we have kind of a rhythm we're trying to do with the shows we cover moving forward. And so we'll cover other, like, older series like this. And I don't know if they'll be as entertaining or if it's going to be more like frustrating tropes. But this is, like, a lot more complex. I didn't come in with any idea really what it was going to be about. So I didn't have, like, guesses ahead of time. But this is just, like, a really good story. And it's, like, dramatic and so far hasn't been, for its age, not, like, crazy aged badly, you know, like so many shows have.
Yeah.
It, with today's perspective.
No, it doesn't even feel like it's that old, to be perfectly. Like, it doesn't really feel dated that much.
Yeah, I will say sometimes, like, the audio feels a little, like, not clean, so that's, like, the part where it feels a little
aged. I feel like that's,
they need it.
When I switched over to the Blu-rays, applied. It sounded real nice, so I think they upscaled that. I think it's just the streaming services that we use, I think, are using, like, maybe, like, a VHS rip or something, which, like, is fine for the video, or, like, it's fine for the images, but for the audio quality, it's not that good. But yeah, no, I'm glad it worked out, because, like, I'd only heard about this from the because of the manga, right? And it's like, oh, it's the manga about Marie Antoinette. And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound very good. And also, because I hadn't heard of the show, I'm like, well, who knows if the show is good? Because sometimes the adaptations are not notable at all. But I'm glad that it has worked out. So,
yeah.
Oh, it's going well.
Yeah. Woo. Get it. All right. Okay.
No, I don't think so. You should rate us 5 stars. You should tell all your friends to watch The Rose of Versailles and listen along with this podcast where we learn stuff about the history, and maybe that Rosalie was real, but not in this way. That's the only kind of stuff you can get by listening to our podcast. You could never look that up yourself.
No, not to watch episode 17 on Plex.
Don't watch Plex.
Learn from our mistake. Oh, gosh.
Maybe we should like email them. You think there's like a company thing? I was like, hey, this is out of order.
I wonder, because sometimes there was duplicates of like Love Island episodes where I'm like, yeah, dang it.
Wow.
So there's just messy.
Messy organization.
Plex activity.
All right. Well, remember, if you accidentally run someone over, make sure to commit their face to memory because they could come back to stab you at a ball when you're least expecting it.
You're stressed
because you're introducing your daughter to the queen for the first time, whereas the woman right next to you is pulling out a knife to stab you.
Remember, just take your, you know, never rely on others and take your own carriage because you never know when there's a murder attempt. In the works.
Carry your sword with you. Have Andre carry two swords and he can throw one to you.
Remember, you're super popular and everyone's jealous of you, so they're all trying to get you.
Yeah. God.
Oh, what a happy takeaway.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everyone. And I can't wait for us to cover the next set of episodes because this show is good. And we hope you feel the same. And till next time, fare thee well, listeners.
Bye.
Bye-bye.